Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo, and unfortunately...
No, it kicks right in, and it will in like about... It does this every time we go on.
Oh, the show is on but not streaming, so...
Yeah, it just takes like a few seconds and it'll go right on. George said that that happens and he can hear us anyway.
Okay.
So just go right into that.
Hey, George, can you hear us? Oh, there we go. Okay.
I can hear you.
Yeah. Good.
Could you hear us saying that the show wasn't streaming?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I told Leo that it says
yeah,
that,
yeah,
but it is streaming.
The top, it says the show's not streaming, you know, so it's like...
I hear you on the telephone, but I don't hear you on the computer yet.
Oh,
okay.
Well, we should be on the computer now.
Do you hear us on the computer now?
No, I don't.
Well, maybe you may not, actually, because you're on the phone.
Yeah, that might be
you
why.
You know what I mean?
Because it says we're on live now anyway.
Yeah.
So, well, it's good to hear your voice, George. And Leo and I got a chance to look at that video that you were talking about, or one of them anyway.
On Adam's calendar, yeah.
On Adam's calendar. That was quite interesting. And
oh, it caught my attention, that's for sure. And I just thought you might recognize it, because we've talked about Enki and Enlil, you know, has to do... with
right.
The Anunnaki and the 12th planet. We've had many, many shows where we've crossed over talking about Enki, and what this information was basically is the establishment or the flagship city of the Anunnaki of Enki, which was done in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, you know what I thought was really funny? Lila didn't get a chance to hear this, but on that same... Hollinger audio show, radio show, they said that the early Egyptians, like the Egyptians when Moses, what Moses did when he left, when he took off from Egypt with the Jews, what he did was he actually took the Ark of the Covenant, which was the battery, if you will, of the great pyramid,
mm-hmm.
And it said that the reason that Ramses
went after him
was because he grabbed the power, okay, of Egypt with him, and then he took off, and that what was in that was actually anatomic gold. I believe it was anatomic gold, or it was...
They call it white gold, yes.
Mm-hmm. White gold, and it was also manna. And when he took that off, he had the power to part the sea, you know, and everything he did, everything else. It wasn't so much...
it was the power of the god.
Yeah, it was the power of the stuff that was in the
right.
covenant.
From God.
Right.
The ark, yeah, uh-huh.
And so... That's how it. That's why it moved.
Ramses was so mad.
Yeah, that's why he ran after him. All right, and he didn't care if the Jews took off. He just cared if he wanted his gold back. You know what I mean? I thought that was interesting. Really interesting.
What do you think about that, George?
About what? The Ark or?
Yeah,
the Ark of the Covenant.
Well, like, if nothing else, you know, it talks about some of the powers and the energies.
Yeah.
That they had way back then. And, you know, I've heard different stories on that. And I think Linda Cantrell wrote in her book, The Greatest Story Never Told, that she said this substance that was in that sarcophagus type of ark was radioactive.
Oh.
And even the priest and the people who moved that around, temple guards or whatever you'd want to call them, that they had special uniforms or a wearing apparel, and actually this wearing apparel actually grounded them or shielded them from, let's say, the radioactivity that was coming from this.
Oh.
And, you know, with some of the descriptions that were given of this, you know, it sounded like there were psychotronics devices of shielding, you know, the operators or... the people that handle it with special shields to ground out the magnetic energies.
Well, you know, what was fascinating was that Peter Moon's book, when he talks about the about what he mentions, what that Moses and his people were really leaving the were banished, okay, from Egypt because they had a disease,
mm-hmm.
right? That was a scaling disease.
Mm-hmm.
That was and it was some reaction to sunlight. Okay, it was a sunlight reaction that they had, and because they were Rh negative blood, which were Martian, you know, blood, they or alien blood.
Supposedly.
They were not able to. They had to develop this. They had to find some medium, something that would save them from this, and from this disease. And they were virtually sent out. And actually, there was he actually talks about the fact that this was actually the early leprosy,
mm-hmm.
okay, that they knew of, and that they were banished from Egypt, but
so different stories.
So a whole bunch of different stories, and what they had to do is they had to find something to offset this disease, which was a very serious disease for them. And what they found is they found the pig, the actual pig was the only thing that could be that could be used. All right, and it's bizarre. I mean, the whole connection to this is bizarre, and why. You know, why Jews don't like pork, okay, and
yeah.
Arabs don't eat pork, and so on. But actually, the link to pork and the link to the pig is what brought mankind down, okay, to a lower level. But they had to come down from a lower level in order to survive on this planet. They couldn't survive in the way that they were due to the sunlight and the vitamin and the sunlight was affecting them.
Leo, I think it may be something closer to home than sunlight. And, you know, while you're talking, or, you know, just dealing with this leprosy, if you want to call it, or sunlight, that it has to do with maybe the environment. Now, Linda Cantrell in this book talks about years past where there was atomic explosions that were set off on the Earth, and this has been confirmed, I think, by findings of some of the still radioactive areas there in the Middle East, there was radioactivity or nuclear bombs, atomic bombs that contaminated that area. In as earlier as near as 3,000
I remember they showed scorched
1,000 years old.
I saw where they actually showed scorched rocks, okay, and very, very old, but they were scorched at, like, from some excessive heat. I mean, way beyond what fire would do, you know what I mean?
Right.
But
some kind of chemical reaction.
Yeah, or whatever it was. But they saw, and the rock was radioactive. And these rocks were radioactive in these areas. And this was in the Middle East somewhere, either in Iraq or somewhere.
I think what they wanted to do is rid the world, or rid the areas of the undesirables, those that have been affected. And, you know, for to keep the gene pool active and clean. And, you know, I think some of this activity relating to, you know, leprosy has to do with
radiation
poisoning.
Right.
And, so, you know, some of the ailments that they experienced.
Right. No, when I read that, I was really surprised. And Lila had read that Cantrell book, and it was like that you had given her to read, and she was talking about that for about a month there. You know, she was reading it on a regular basis.
If nothing, it will get you thinking or thinking about you know what little knowledge or what knowledge we don't think we have, whatever. We're learning now things that are dreamlike or fantasy.
Yeah.
Our beliefs are coming true with some of the latest finds. But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Well, I think this Adam calendar was unbelievable. And for anybody listening, you can get that by going to YouTube actually, and look up. I believe it's Adam's calendar.
Yeah.
And it looks
a little bit like Stonehenge, except.
But it's much older.
And it's not in the shape that Stonehenge is in. A lot of the stones have fallen.
But it was circular.
The same principle.
And it's about anywhere from 25 to 75,000 years old. So that way predates Stonehenge,
But a similar shape and...
Yeah.
And how they ever got the stones to stand up like that, because they were large.
And what was really, really interesting was the part where it says 75,000 years ago, the Orion Belt, the three stars, were actually horizontal. Today, they're vertical. But back then they were actually horizontal. I mean, that was years ago. So I mean, everything's changed. Everything shifts.
If you line them up with the old star charts, they would line up. But even right now, if you try to align those up with the stars, they about be 3 or 4 degrees off.
Right.
So there would be a difference.
Right.
So it's going back those number of years where you would have a complete alignment without having to manipulate, the star positions.
Right. And
like with Stonehenge, you're taking it back, 6,000 years, 7,000 years.
Nice.
But, when you start going back tens of thousands of years, you're going to have some change. And the area that we're talking about is at least 75,000 years old, and in dating back, with the not only the alignments, but also with some of the plankton, I think life, on the rocks themselves, and over a period of time, which is a slow process, it would have its mark more so than, let's say, a carbon dating would be, which is much more finer. That is only the earliest of the datings of this area, if you'd want to call it that. With the Anunnaki, and if this is true, if this is, let's say the native home of Enki and the Anunnaki, who originally came here to mine the gold, then this area here goes back at least 250 to 300,000 years, not the 75,000 years that we can detect by just looking at it from an outside periphery view.
Hey, George, can you tell me why there's music in the background?
because...
I got the speakerphone on. You still there?
Yeah,
we're still here.
Okay. I can turn that down. I'm sorry.
We had a little bit of trouble hearing you there.
hold on, please.
Yeah.
So I was wondering... if that was actually a calendar or it's something else, that stone formation. What did you think?
Oh, I think it was an astrological calendar. That's what I think it was.
I'm sorry for the interruption there.
George,
I had a question for you.
George, did you think they mentioned that was a calendar? That stone formation, is that what you believe it was, or do you think it was something else or more than that?
No, I think it was a calendar because, the rocks were alignments, for the different periods of the Earth, it denoting the summer and winter solstice and so forth. It's like Stonehenge.
My question is, if this was such an advanced people, why would they need such a calendar?
You think
they'd have it in
their computer
in their computer in
uh-huh.
their or handheld computers. Or
yeah,
something.
I was just curious if you thought it could be something more than that.
Yeah.
And
well, I'm sure it would be. If nothing else, is you know maybe the index of some of the technology and usefulness of you know what they've erected there. Now, like some of the monuments in Teotihuacan in Mexico, you know these temples and these formations actually. Resonated in certain harmonics or with certain in certain frequencies.
I wondered about that. If they were like a solar collectors of some sort, or solar manipulators, or some form of you know,
or whether they were connected.
Power from something, yeah. You know.
Whether they were connected in some way to each other, and the other thought I had is that could they have been seen from space?
Yeah.
Were they, you know, some kind of formation that they needed for that purpose, for landing or for
some form of guidance or something.
Or they collected energy in some way. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, because...
Well, I would say yes, and probably, more than likely, you know. Who's to say?
I mean, there's nothing standing that's that old, you know, anymore other than mountains, and the mountains don't even look the way they used to back then. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, is there anything besides that we know of that man-made that's older than that? That's any older than 75,000 years?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't
know. I haven't
know.
Seen any evidence in archaeological research that I've done over the years
uh-huh.
of any kind, any finds that old, okay, that, you know, other than fossils, dinosaurs, you know, stuff like that. But nothing from a celestial or extraterrestrial or spiritual thing. And the size of that, to construct
mm-hmm.
those things, had to be a tremendous task.
So it makes you think or wonder why there is no evidence of, let's say, lost civilizations. You know, they have to have some artifacts or even an automobile junkyard somewhere, you know.
I was watching this. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good point.
Automobile junkyard.
Yeah.
And I got an answer for it too.
What? What's
because I think with you know with everything that we have, let's say from that is old, is all made of man or natural substances, just like pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, they eventually will erode, you know, and turn back into dust, you know. But
let them finish.
Yeah,
you know, in looking at things that were made, just like cities and so forth, you know, the understanding is that you know, in order for you to have these things, you have to have a consciousness of something holding it together, to giving it form or giving it meaning. And, you know, I can understand, you know, the ancients talk about when you do have a pole reversal and a magnetic shift and so forth, is that, you know, what you're doing is erasing the memory, the memories of whatever is with you in physical form. So, you know, if you, it's like a cup. A cup will have a form until the form is no longer needed. Then it will dissolve into nothingness. So if you have something that follows a certain structure of certain lineage, if you have nothing holding it together any longer, it will dissolve itself and it will be no longer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say the styrofoam lasts 25,000 years. You can't
uh-huh.
get rid of that stuff,
uh-huh.
right? Radiation the same way, and you know, so much of this of the junk that we've created. But you know, whether earlier man was made more sense and saw the relationship to stewarding the earth and using biodegradable products, who knows. But he would think that anything, that we would have something in record. I mean, if they have fossils, they have dinosaur bones, they have all this stuff, but you would think they would have something more than, and they do actually, they have cave drawings, you know, they go back, I don't know, 20,000 years or something
like
that.
But how does a cave drawing doesn't even compare to this structure?
Yeah, I know. I mean, they were cavemen at that point, but this had to take some kind of an intelligent race of people or something in order to create, you know, and whether they died out or whether they were here like the Anunnaki or something, and they were just here to mine or who the hell knows. But there doesn't seem to be, there seems to be varying opinions. I mean, tremendous number of opinions on this and nothing really factual. Other than the Book of Enki and Enlil and so on, if you get into the Anunnaki, that makes some sense. But you know, if you're looking back to those structures, where was the civilization there? You know, what was it? You know what I mean? And this was in Africa, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did they? It didn't say that they did any excavating around that area.
Well,
yes, they did. They did.
Okay.
And, you know, they talked that it's been a cradle of civilization for thousands of years.
Well,
and they show that if you dig down and take it layer for layer, a meter at a time,
right,
that you have different Homo sapien type of beings.
Oh.
That basically differed in their genetic structures.
Well, the earliest supposedly was Lucy, right? That was the earliest known human bones that were found. It was,
mm-hmm.
it was the body of a woman, the skeletons of a woman, and they dated that about 3 million years or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3 million years old. So I mean I don't know. This stuff really confuses me as to how old we really are.
All right, well, let's keep the same thought now, Leo, and what you're saying about Lucy, yes. But instead of going back 5 million years, let's keep it up to the of near present. And, you know, with this area, we're only talking about, let's say, 75,000 years. But within that 75,000-year period, there has been three different levels of Homo sapiens or Homo erectus, whatever you'd want to call our genetic line, who have come and gone and who have left evidence and evidence of different having different characteristics.
Right.
So, you know, if nothing, it shows a very quick evolution of, let's say, our type of being or our type of person, you know, and we've talked about DNA and the original Adam seed, which goes back to the Adam and Eve in the Bible, and this was part of the genetic manipulating that went on with the Anunnakis, and this is Zechariah Sitchin's work with the Earth Chronicles, and where, you know, with the Sumerian text, takes the genetic manipulating of our strand, this Adam and Eve strand, going back 211,000 years, and that basically is when our genetic line was started.
And going back to, I'm sorry, George, I lost my thread here. I was trying to think of the earliest finds, and I forgot what my thought was. Continue. I'm
mm-hmm.
broken.
Yeah.
I hate that when that happens. But anyway, why don't we leave that subject and just move on to the next that we were going to talk about tonight, which was the timeline.
How's that, Lila?
Yep. I was just thinking, you know, when you were talking. I just get one last thought in.
Okay.
You were talking about the Adam and Eve strand, and I was thinking, and what's happening with that strand now, and what manipulations are happening. There's so much going on in labs today with DNA, and you can, you
genetic
know,
manipulation,
genetic
yeah.
manipulation. I was just wondering what's happening with that. I was just thinking, in, you know, 1,000 years from now, or, you know, people look back and they say, oh, you know, there was a change in the structure. So it's some time period when, you know,
well,
right now, like when we're living.
Well, I think if we look back at those pictures, for instance, I put them up on Facebook, too, called the Alien Exposure. I've got a number of comments on that from people. But the interesting thing about it is that the elongated heads, you know, the odd shape of the bodies, the height and so on and so forth, and this is all inscribed in stone in pictures of them, but also in sculpture and in skeletal remains,
mm-hmm.
and it shows that there was obviously another race of human beings, unlike anything here today.
Mm-hmm.
And not only were they a race of human beings, but they were an extremely intelligent and evolved, set up the Egyptian civilization.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought is that I believe there's an alien intervention in our evolution, and you know, it doesn't surprise me. And it's very possible, and I think you said that, I mean, it goes back 500,000 years or a million years even, doesn't it?
Right. Well, maybe not with the Anunnaki,
but with
other races, or, you know. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just part of what we have to understand. The other thing I was going to ask you is, we have a caller, I think that's paranormal, I'm not sure, hang on a second.
Get it?
Yeah, there we go. 111, did you like to say something?
Yes, you're definitely psychic, Leo.
I'm definitely psychic, right?
Welcome.
Lila's actually much more psychic than I, but we try. We try here. So what's up there, guy? Can you add to the conversation here?
Well, you guys piqued my interest with the whole Anunnaki talk, so I definitely had to chime in along with my computer going out. But I definitely just wanted to listen and maybe comment in if I hear anything. But the Anunnaki and the Sumerian text definitely piqued my interest.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, we can talk about that a little. We were going to, we had two parts to the show here tonight. We jumped into that, and then we wanted to talk about the timeline. Of the sixth night of the Mayan calendar, and how it equates to 1973 and 1974, during what happened to that period.
You know, if I could say here, the problem I see is the time that we have here. Time is happening so quick,
yeah.
And yet it's distorted.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've said for a while now, things aren't speeding up. It's the options that we have available to us, which is making it, much faster, or things much faster.
That's
and,
right. Technology is a mixed blessing. I mean, it used to be able, a good example is you would write a check a few years back, and you'd always have that grace period with your bank.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew you had a few days to throw some money in or something. If
right, yes, huh?
Enough. Now, the ink isn't even dry on the check.
Yes.
And they seem to know whether you have something there or you
well,
don't.
Do. They stick it in a machine now and boop, boop, you know, and then they even give you back your check.
Right.
You know?
That's if you still even use checks.
Yeah, if
you
use checks. Most people, a lot of people use cards.
Yeah, debit cards.
But they get charged 75 to cents to a dollar every time they use the damn thing.
Yeah.
So
another example of bankers making money.
Okay.
But anyway, yes, I agree with you. With all the things that we have available to us, all the options, it's as if time has speed it up. But the problem is, I think it feels that way because we have to take in so much to our brains and our mind, and they're not made to cope with all that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel as if I have too much information going in at the same time, and it's like a huge traffic jam.
And you know, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, George.
Yeah. With the sixth night, it's a time of cleansing, is starting anew.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is the ending of you know, our financial institutions. And, you know, this is, we're in the fall right now, and it will continue, you know, for the rest of this six-night cycle. And, you know, it's a time where they say things aren't speeding up, but they're slowing down. And, you know, I can't make hide or hair out of it because, you know, this is what the elders say about this time period. That really, it's slowing down. Things are slowing down. And we're starting to slow down from such a rush that we've been going through in the last 3 or 4 years, I think, dealing with this polarity consciousness concept idea and breaking and going more into a unified understanding or a unified consciousness.
You know, I agree with you on that, George, because I see it around us all the time. I see it more and more as I looking at people and talking with people and finding there is much more of a unity consciousness than before. Even though you have political differences and religious differences and so on, but there seems to be a movement of the majority that are seriously concerned with change. They see the change coming. They know it's coming. Physically, it's happening around them. Environmentally, it's happening. Financially, it's happening. People know it's happening. They just don't know what the hell to do about it. But they know that it's happening. And you know, some people are getting very angry. Some people are getting very apathetic, you know, and cynical, that just going back and doing nothing about it. But you are seeing that what Lungol said, that time when people would start going crazy. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And you're seeing it politically. You're seeing it. You know, you're seeing more and more rashes of mass murders and guys blowing away his families. And the guy the other day just blew away 8 people. You know, things like that are happening. Plus, you've got this horrendous military oppression on other countries by us, by the United States, going into all of these different countries and beating the hell out of all these countries and blowing it up and killing hundreds of thousands and millions of people. And without any conscience.
Yes,
you know?
But Leo, don't lose the thought here now. Don't get carried away because, you know, you're going to have that, but you're also going to have the other aspects of this also.
What's that?
Well, it's the other side of what's being experienced now.
Yeah.
And, you know, sure, there's a downside to this, but that is part of the collapse of what we are to experience. You know, it's all falling down, and it's not following the norm. Now, I don't want to get lost here, but I think the way time is being displayed is distorted. When I say right now, I question now what the elders were talking about when they said it's a time that time is starting to slow down. And, you know, I can't see for the life of me what they're talking about. Things are happening so fast.
Yeah.
George, could it mean that time is slowing down because we can't take in anymore?
Well, no, let me continue my thought here.
Okay, sorry.
And, you know, it's hard to try to figure out or to understand what they're saying, because they're saying at one point, we have entered the time where there is no time, where there is time and there is no time. So it's hard to understand it. But, you know, I think I understand what they're talking about. It's because last Sunday,
yep,
I told myself, you know, I got a pain in my neck and I got to see my doctor on it. So, you know, it's like Monday morning, I got to call my doctor, make an appointment, and yada, 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 right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it wasn't until today that I called the doctor's office and made an appointment, so I'll be seeing him next week and so forth. But, you know, what happened is that it wasn't Monday morning where I was able to take care of this. It was Friday morning. And the reason why is because the best way I can explain this is that, you know, you want to sit down and write a letter. But what you got to do is that you got to go and find your pen because you left your pen in the other room. And the reason why you left it in the other room is because you were doing the puzzle in the newspaper. But you forgot your newspaper is outside for today. That was yesterday's you were working on. So you drop everything and you go outside to get the newspaper. And on the way out, you see your checkbook on the coffee table out in the patio. So, oh, yes, the reason why did I have this up? Before you know it, you're so busy tying up the loose ends that are around you that you don't realize that time is past you.
That's exactly what I said, George. You can't take in anymore.
No, you're right, yeah.
You can't take in anymore.
And there's another thing, too, that we're neglecting to mention, and I think that's amusement, entertainment,
mm-hmm.
distraction.
Yeah.
There's so many things to distract us from remembering stuff. I mean, there are people that spend half a day playing video games, for crying out loud.
Yeah, we see it's the string.
I mean, it's just, you know, you're inundated with things, and at the same time, you're dying to find an escape from all of this. And people will watch TV all day, or they'll drink all day, or they'll play video games, or they'll go to work, they'll come home, and they'll sit in front of a TV, or they'll just want to go numb, so they can't think of anything else. They don't want to think of anything else, you know. But then they got to have their kids, or they got, you know, whatever.
No, I don't think it's a matter of want, Leo. I think it's because the stimulation is coming not only from the bad, but also the good aspects. So you're emanated by both sides here.
Well, that's true, but I think that what Lungo said in his understanding of this was that this time frame right now we would all go nuts because we can only take in 24 frames of information in a second. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting bombarded with hundreds and hundreds of frames of information.
So we're shorting out.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what happens. I mean, we're basically like a computer when you think about it.
I'll find that lost gaps of time when I'm involved with something, especially since I've been writing this book. I mean, oh, God, I thought I was coming down with Alzheimer's there for a while.
Yeah, but you've learned to pace yourself, though, Leo.
Well, it's the intensity of the involvement and the drive that you have in order to complete the task,
mm-hmm.
and you becomes all consuming, and then you 6, 7, 8, 10 hours have gone by, and you're going, wow, you know, I wonder why my knees don't work, you know what I mean, or I wonder why I'm stiff or I can't remember. Oh my God, I forgot. You know, I forgot to live here. But these things are constant, and depending on, of course, what you're bombarded with or what you're involved with, some people are much, much worse. I mean, imagine anybody living in Haiti today, what those poor people had to endure.
Yeah, jeez.
I mean, good God. I mean, how do you, I saw something where this poor woman, she had just lost four of her children, and mm-hmm. she was sitting there, you know, stoically and kind of in a daze, and she just wanted everything. Her entire life was destroyed, and all she wanted to do was to leave the area. Just let me go. I want to go away. You know, that was her. That just let me out of here. Let me go away. Leave everything behind. I
have nothing to leave behind.
Yeah. So, but she was devastated. So, it's like, you know, how do you handle that much at one time? You know, can you imagine losing your entire family, my God, or your house, everything. I mean, everything all at once. Just overwhelming, you know.
I know, but you do it.
Well, yeah, and then you just have to, some do it and some just forget about it. But
well, you're going to have that with anything, but, you know, it's the amount of stimulation, you know.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It really is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, yeah, my God, it is. It is. And the fortitude of some people over others and handling things is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guy can lose $1 million, $1 billion, or $100 million and jump out of a window,
mm-hmm.
or shoot himself in the head. And somebody can lose their entire life, okay, their children, their home, their, you know, everything they had.
Right.
And stand up and walk and continue on, you know. It says a lot about the character of the individual, but it also probably gives us a better idea of what kind of mindset that we have to have in order to survive this period of time.
Tell me a little bit more about this slowdown. What is going to happen after that? So we have this feeling that time is slowing down.
Well, right. The time is slowing down is because I think it's winding down, or projects or programs that we have are winding down. Just like our financial industry is all winding down right now, and it's ready to, you know, ready to stop. And this has been denoted, and it's been in the workings for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Well, it's a time of coming to an end, and the financial system has been exposed for what it is, and it's a matter of renewing now. And I think we're in the process here with this new world order. It's going to be, you know, a set of currencies that's you know, that the world is going to focus in on, and things are changing, and this is just one area.
Yeah.
You know, in following the movements of the six knives, you know, we can go back to the previous cycles and focus in on some of the different things that were experienced.
Well,
I think
if we look back and we were talking about this earlier, but if we look back at the 1970s, you had the end of the war, you had the resignation of Nixon, mm-hmm. you had the presidency of Ford, mm-hmm. all right, and the beginning of, and what he did is he took under Nixon and Ford. You had price
ceilings
on
price control.
Price control. Mm-hmm. You're right. Mm-hmm.
On gas and on oil and so on.
But it was prosperity.
Well, it was artificial in a sense that what it did is it kept the it allowed us to begin to export more, or import rather, more oil,
mm-hmm.
Import more things because we could buy it dirt cheap, okay, in the Middle East and South America and so on. So what they did is basically in the 60s and 50s, 60s and 70s, they capped all the oil wells in the United States, all right, and it was more expensive to take it out of the United States reserves than it was to buy it from overseas. So what happened? You started to have this thing happen, and then as we were just as then under Ford, and then of course again under Carter, what they did is they deregulated everything. Okay, deregulated the electrical industry, deregulated the banking industry, deregulated the oil industry. Took all the caps off, and what happened was,
we went from a republic to a fascist state as a result.
But, and not only that, what happened was is that then you suddenly had the OPEC oil embargo because they were saying, hey, we're not getting enough money for our oil. You know, We're dying here. You're ripping us off. So they put in that.
They got together.
They all got together and stopped sending oil to us, and we started immediately feeling it at the pump. And I remember standing in odd and even days, you know, going to get your gas on odd days and even days, depending on what your license plate number was. And the insanity of that was we started right after that, after the deregulation, we started seeing a period of hyperinflation during the Carter years and during the Ford years of going in. Remember Ford had Whip Inflation Now? Remember that?
No.
The WIN program, Whip Inflation Now?
I don't remember
that. Was Ford,
that.
Yeah. And because the idiot, what he did is he deregulated.
Mm-hmm.
So by deregulating all of your gas and the oil and everything else, they just went bananas and price and started and tripled and
the price,
the price of what it was. And I mean it was ridiculous, really.
You know,
but back in the early 70s, it was 50 cents a gallon. All right, by the end of the 70s, it was like $1.50 a gallon, okay, or $1.25 a gallon for gasoline. All right, and
well, what happened in 73 and 74, which brought that into being, Leo, is something that you didn't mention, and it had to do with money itself.
We went out the gold standard. That's right. We totally went out the gold standard. And
the reason why?
Well, why? Well, Nixon took us off of that, and because there wasn't enough gold.
Mm-hmm. You know why?
Why?
Because the Arabs would no longer take our paper money. They wanted something of real value, of real worth, and they wanted gold. So all during that early gas embargo that happened in the 70s, we were shipping gold over in passenger jets to Saudi Arabia and to the eastern countries because they would no longer accept our paper.
Well, you know, Dubai does everything in gold transactions too.
Well, the same thing happened basically with the Iraqi war with King Hussein. He was dealing with something that had more value than the American dollars, and he started bartering in other currencies.
But at the same time, the American dollar is still to this day and was then backed by oil.
Yeah.
Okay. By oil. So
well,
it was all everything was traded in the US dollar. Okay, all oil transactions were traded in dollars.
Yeah.
So that became the oil currency basically.
Right.
And that replaced gold by replacing the value behind the dollar with oil.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's when the price of oil went way the hell up because the paper dollar was not worth the ink it was written on, you know. And we're at the same point now. And this is what we're looking at now. We're looking at a period now of extreme hyperinflation. Some people say it could be as bad as the Weimar Republic, in the 30s in Germany, because what we've done, and I was so grateful to hear that they finally want to get rid of Bernanke and the federal. I mean, they've been trying to get rid of the Fed now for the last year. They've had this Congress, and they should have had it a long time ago. But people are starting to wake up at what's happening, and the Congress is starting to wake up because the people are waking up and saying, "Hey, this is bad. Federal Reserve is bad. They're ripping us off. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. Get rid of them."
Okay.
And so now they're waking up and they're going to try, or at least try to get rid of Bernanke. But it's kind of crazy.
It is crazy. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But my fear is
for another.
My
idiot.
Fear is that it's like it always is. It's problem reaction solution.
Yeah.
And the solution will be a world currency that they'll bring in.
That's what they want
to
bring in.
They have created this issue, this problem.
In fact, they've already had it under the UN. It's called a Banco, I believe, B-A-N-C-O. B-A-N-C-O.
Yeah, we'll see if there is a currency that will be replaced. Because right now, we don't have a currency. We don't need a currency because it's all electrons in a magnetic strip.
Well, they have they have to give a name to it. In Europe, it's the euro, and they that we were going to have the Amero.
The peso, but that's going to change to one currency with one value.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then we're all, I mean, forget about it. You know, there's no...
Well, everybody's screwed.
Yeah.
If I can, you know, stay on the same mark here, going back in 1974 with Nixon,
yeah.
Understand there was a lot of politics, political politics that were being played out. And, you know, I want to take this back, if I can, to the last cycle, the last time this happened. The circle of events of political events, and that is about 1292 or 94 A.D. And I think you'll remember this date because it's the date of movie? Braveheart.
The Magna Carta.
Well, yeah, and it had to deal with the Magna Carta. And, you know, taking a look at what was going on in the Supreme Court here with this ruling on corporate contributions and so forth, you know, I think it's just another circle of events that the judicial powers have over the people.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in 1974, you had Roe versus Wade. And everybody is familiar with the abortion regulations and talk that concerned us all. And it came out at that time. But going back to the last cycle, 1297, with Braveheart with William Wallace, there was a change in the laws that we have today, which is partially that common law, which goes back to the Magna Carta. Which was rewritten in 1292 by Longshanks, Edward I, and that was the tyranny that first started, the downfall of the powers of the kings and the Pope itself had over the people. And an example of that, the original Magna Carta was 1215 to 1225. Which listed a freeman as free a space man, M-A-N, as a private person with that was sovereign to nobody but himself. Edward I, Longshanks, changed that to freeman, which was combined together, the spelling of that, which meant a servitude, which promoted you to a servitude to the king or to the lord, which took the right away from you, and that is the power that we have now with our common law.
So now we're sitting at a pinnacle period, or I should say pivotal period in our evolution.
Yes.
And I don't know where we're going. I just have the strong belief and a faith that we're going forward.
Mm-hmm.
To fulfill whatever destiny that our creation must fulfill.
Right.
I'm game to keep going. Don't have any plans to stop, you know, and I don't think Lila does. Do you?
You just fulfill whatever is in your DNA and all.
Yeah.
Unless there's some kind of bad luck that you have,
right.
Roadkill.
Exactly. Or you get an earthquake or something.
Or like those poor people in Haiti. I mean, you just don't know
what's going to happen.
But
no idea.
Otherwise, you're...
People out of California, I mean, people anywhere. You have an idea this could happen, but the last thing you expect is that it will happen, and then when it does happen, you're totally...
You do the best you can to cope with it.
Let me run by you some of the interest that people had in 1974. You know, when it came to the movies of the year, The Sting was a big hit.
Oh, yeah, that was a big
Blazing
hit.
Saddles.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yep.
Serpico.
Which was Serpico, right?
Oh.
Serpico. The Exodus.
Oh.
Oh, my God. The Exodus.
Right. Exorcist, right. And Death Wish.
Oh, Exorcist. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and what else?
Well, in TV shows, you know, you had the $6 million man.
Oh, yeah.
Kojak, Kung Fu.
Huh. Yeah,
and you also had the Waltons. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I find it funny on the commercials on TV for Geico, the insurance company. You know, they mock the Walters at the end of their shows. They used to say goodnight with one another.
Yep.
And it's funny because I remember those shows and everybody saying goodnight. And I like the way how they put it in the commercial, you know. But if nothing, it just recircles
it. It became a joke, actually, you know, the Waltons. Did you really like the Waltons?
Yeah, I did. I did. My wife liked it. I liked it, too. And, you know, it was good, wholesome TV in the 70s. It really was.
Good night, Dad. Good night, Mom. Good night, Joe. Good night, Paul. Oh, they have 8 kids or something?
Right. Something like that. And Billy Bob and Grandma. And yeah.
Crazy. But you know, the one good thing in the 70s, the one thing I really liked in the 70s, I loved the Kung Fu theater. All right?
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing better than that. That could keep you up all night watching that stuff. Because it was all these Kung Fu movies from China and stuff.
Yeah.
And, man, that, nothing got you. I don't know why. Nothing got me going more than sitting there at midnight, having a couple of drinks and watching a kung fu theater, you know, which went on for a couple hours a night.
That was the beginning of Chinese mind manipulation.
That was like Saturday.
Right.
It was always on Saturday nights around in Connecticut, and they brought whatever station I forget, but they had kung fu theater.
Since then, they've invaded through video games.
Yeah, in fact, you know, it's funny in Hartford,
an old movie
theater was transformed from a regular theater. To a kung fu theater. Okay, all they did was show kung fu movies, all week long, and they did pretty well for almost 5 or 6 years, and then they converted back. Then the kung fu kind of died, but I love kung fu movies, and I still do to this day. But that was a huge thing, and Bruce Lee, and you know, all that stuff was out there then, but then you had the demise of the 70s and the rise of the 80s. You had the demise of liberalism and the demise of, I write about this.
Let's don't jump ahead of ourselves, Leo.
Liberalism. And, you realize that there were five, between 1963 and 1968, we lost four of the top liberal leaders in the country. We lost Malcolm X, we lost JFK. We lost Bobby Kennedy, and we lost Martin Luther King. And then, and after that, there were no liberal leaders, really. It became anarchy. It became craziness after that. Remember the 72 Democratic Convention? Yeah, and was it 72 or 68? 68.
68.
Yeah, absolute pandemonium. Of course, that was the year that Robert Kennedy got assassinated. But in that 5-year span, from 63 to 68, you lost four of the top liberal leaders in this country, and it destroyed the movement. It destroyed liberalism, basically. Everybody just kind of got into, the drug scene started to take over, and anarchy and street violence and, student riots and everything else were taken over. And then, of course, the protests. And under Nixon, resigned in disgrace, and Ford took over, pardoned Nixon, and lived out for 2 years. And then you had Carter. And man, I tell you, between that time frame, everything just went to hell in a handbasket. And then you started the reign of conservatism with Ronald Reagan. So it's like the political movement, as well as the social movement, started taking a severe swing to the right. As now, it appears that the right is waning, and now you have a much stronger bent toward the left, which is good for me. I mean, I've always been a liberal, so I'm glad to see it.
Why do you think it has to go to the left, Leo?
The balance. I think it has to go to the left to balance things out, to balance us out, to balance that bipolar personalities that this country and this world has.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why it's happening that way.
Yeah, but I don't think balance is the game that's being played out here, because the balance is not working, and that's the problem. You know, we go from one extreme to another.
We stopped streaming, George. I was too late to mention that.
Oh well, geez.
Well, the show's kind of over, but no, you're absolutely right about that, and I think that we're. You said that it's not the balance that we're looking for. What is it?
No, it's too late for the balance. You can balance it off, you know.
So where is it going to go? Right off the edge, or what?
Well, I think the truth will set it free, and you know, it'll balance itself out.
Yeah.
Because you know, you can sit and play this balancing game all day. It's going to do any good, because you're only going to balance it to the way you want to perceive it. You know, you just got to let it go.
Well, I think almost anything can tip the scales now, between you and I. Anything can tip the scales, like another 1 or 2% rise in unemployment, another fiasco by the Obama administration, you know, whatever.
Leo, but, it only takes some fool in an airport to yell bomb to start things. You take a look at what happened in not in New Jersey a couple of weeks ago.
Shut everything down right across the whole United States.
And it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous.
Some guy walked, 40 steps, and he shut down the whole...
That's right. That's right.
Steps across the line, across the tape there area, and it shut the place down for 6 hours.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, the other guy blew up his balls, or his penis, all right, and caused an entire sea change of political and military and whatever. Over this boy, this little guy from Nigeria, you know what I mean? He sets fire to his groin. I don't understand the truth. What craziness it is? But what I'm saying is that the most simple, the slightest sometimes of things, is enough to be the spark that will ignite the
That's right. Mm-hmm.
The whole revolution. Basically.
I personally think it's a way of saying, because we haven't gotten it any other way, is that we're all interconnected.
Yeah, yeah.
Without a doubt, yeah.
You
they
know,
call it unity consciousness.
I don't think we get it unless we're slammed.
I think you're right. And I think that's what it takes. It takes that second, whatever it is, that.
So if somebody walking a few steps shuts down the whole transportation system for all of us.
It means how close we are to unity consciousness.
How close we really are together.
Yeah,
It's like a butterfly flapping its wings in China can create a hurricane in New York. That you've heard that saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's basically what that Nigerian kid did.
He flooded his, bomb.
Something stupid, and he set off.
Well, look at the guy. Look at the guy who that guy before.
The shoe bomber.
I mean, ever since then, every passenger who takes a flight has to take off their shoes for crying out loud.
One guy put something in his shoe.
A shoe bomb in his shoe.
Yeah,
stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
well.
So the whole thing is crazy, but I think you're onto something, George, and I think that's that unity consciousness factor that you're right. And what we were saying is that one thing will set off, that one spark, there'll be something that will set it off beyond that spark. That will ignite.
Beyond return, yeah. It's crazy. It really is, yeah.
That little crossing the line, or the guy blowing up his groin is like, okay, we can suffer through that and laugh at it. Okay, it was temporary. But but there'll be something, some major insult, some major incident, okay, that we will do or some other country will do that will cause... A global know,
something
some kind
yeah,
of global uprising, and that'll be it. So we'll wait for it and see what happens. But I think we're getting real close, George.
I do too. You know, and I also want to get more of an understanding of this Adam's calendar, because it really intrigued me when I was able to sit down and spend a couple hours and research some of the information on that. And, you know, I think for years, you know, I've talked about Zechariah Sitchin's work.
Right.
And, you know, in my own studies, but, you know, it's like maybe it's time that I have to devote to spending time with some of the ruins. And I remember with the Sedona area, with the monuments on Mars, I mean, it was very intriguing. And I think it was very informative. And, you know, I've talked about Enki and the Lost Book of Enki, which was one of Zechariah Sitchin's latest books. But it was really the story of Enki and his rule and part of the involvement of genetically engineering, you know, us, along with his sister, his wife, I believe, too. And, you know, the seven women who were part of the experimentations that went into, you know, producing us. And, you know, this is all recorded in the Sumerian text.
Right.
But I think it's fascinating, you know, in just aligning with some of the artifacts and findings, you know, from these times. And, you know, this is not going back, you know, less than 10,000 years. We're going back, you know, 100,000 years, and it's great, you know.
Right.
It's like, you know, the stories of Egypt and Isis and Osiris that, you know, people think, you know, were, you know, in the last 8,000 years, but the stories go back, you know, 30, 40,000 years, you know, before the last great flood, you know. But,
right.
Yeah, I'll keep you up to date on, you know, some of my findings on that, but I think it's meant to be. And if nothing else, you know, it will add flavor to, you know, our relationship on here on Earth. And according to the Mayans, you know, it is that time where we should meet up with our galactic neighbors. And, you know, in following the folly of releasing, you know, information on UFOs, you know, it's only a matter of time or months, I think, before, you know, we'll hear more about this, that's for sure.
I hope
well, you
so.
Know, and I'll leave a final note. What we're dealing with unity consciousness is something that's never before happened, that we never have really been able to do before, is the, for instance, Facebook, right, or the Twitter, the networking things.
Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook. I'm just using that as a thing. But You take something like that where you actually have the ability to communicate with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, right? It's remarkable. You know, it's absolutely remarkable. And they can see your face, you can see their face. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
In a way that could never have happened before. It never happened before until this, where you actually could communicate with somebody like that from anywhere. And I just think it's a remark that you could know as much, or somebody could share as much with the rest of the world themselves. And I really, really think that's changing the way people are thinking in many ways, to the good and to the bad in some ways. I mean, Lila has a problem with it in her school, and, you know, with kids, because I don't think. Yeah.
What you say at 13 or 12 is out there forever.
That's right.
And when you and when you look for a job, they look at your Facebook to see you say, to see what pictures you have up.
Yeah, but they're not going to go back 20 years on Facebook. I mean, a 10-year-old kid, you know, gets the job.
But it's out there still.
Yeah,
but where is it out there?
No, it's not really out there.
I don't know, Leo.
It's pretty much deleted.
The mistake, you don't know that. They say that it isn't.
Oh.
Yes, it is. It's out there.
It's out
but
there.
But in the way you find it is you find it through your heart, not something you look around the corner, open a door, and there it is. You find it with your heart, and you'll be drawn toward it.
That's true.
See, that's the difference in this time here. You know, it's not seeing something. Is feeling something and know that it's real, because you know, you've been there's an illusion by looking at something. You think it is real because it looks right, but it's not until you feel what it is that makes it what it is. And that's the difference now, something that's real or artificial. And that's the questions that we have. Do you want to hold on to something that's artificial, that's not real? If you hold on to it, it will pull you down and you'll lose it. But if you hold on to something that is real, you won't have to. You'll become part of it, and it will become part of you. And that's the unity that we have with one another, but also with the world around us.
I understand that, yeah. I agree with you, George. I think that was a great night. Thanks for
all your work and
thanks for
and,
sharing everything with
yeah.
us. And it was a lot of fun.
Well, God bless you both, and thanks for having me.
Okay,
all right, George. We'll talk very soon.
Good night now.
Good night.
And I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, and have a pleasant weekend.
Yeah. Good night, folks.
And join us here next Wednesday. Good night.